Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome again to the Wings Radio program, where we hope you will be uplifted and motivated by what you hear tonight. If you would like to join other listeners in the live chat room, go to www.wingsofprophecy.com and click on the live chat tab. Now here's your host, Glenda Lankus.
Thank you for tuning in to Wings Radio. Tonight we are going to talk about spiritual roots and cures of diseases from the Bible. I believe that the answer to every question can be found in God's Word. And I believe that the cause for many diseases is actually in the Bible if we'll just search for it. Laughter is strong medicine for the mind and for the body. Paul McGee, PhD, said, "Your sense of humor is one of the most powerful tools you have to make certain that your daily mood and emotional state support good health. Laughter reduces stress, pain, and conflict. Nothing works faster to bring your mind and body back into balance than a good laugh. Humor lightens your burdens, inspires hope, and connects you to other people. Laughter is good for your health. It relaxes your body. It boosts the immune system. It triggers the release of endorphins, and it even protects your heart. It can help protect you against a heart attack and other heart problems." So what exactly happens when we laugh? We change physiologically. We stretch muscles in our face and our body. Our pulse and blood pressure go up. We breathe faster, so we send more oxygen to our tissues. Some people compare laughter with a mild workout, and it may offer some of the same advantages. One pioneer in laughter research, William Fry, said it took 10 minutes of rowing on a rowing machine for his heart rate to reach the level it would after just 1 minute of hearty laughter. Now let's talk about depression. What are the physical effects of depression on the body? Depression is a brain disorder that can lead to emotional anguish. Depression, by the way, can be chemical from a chemical imbalance in the body, but it can also be situational. I suffered a terrible depression in 2003. My sister passed away, and a month later, my almost 18-year-old nephew, which was my deceased brother's only son, passed away suddenly. And it was just, that happened. Jerry and I parted ways, and I was just madly in love with him. And just a bunch of stuff happened at the same time. I had a really hard job. I just had major surgery. And it was situational depression. It was too much for my mind to process all at one time. So depression causes physical symptoms. Did you know that depression causes increased aches and pains in 2 out of 3 people who are depressed? Depression causes chronic fatigue. It can decrease your appetite, or if you're an overeater, it will make you eat more. It can cause insomnia or broken sleep patterns or sleeping too much, because changes in the brain have an effect on many parts of the body. Low energy, insomnia, and hopelessness resulting from depression and anxiety perpetuate and aggravate physical pain. They actually will increase your pain or make you feel like you're in more pain. Treatment of the mind and body for pain is very similar. Laughter and depression, opposite sides of the coin. Why do they affect us that way? Because the state of our spirit determines the condition and state of our hearts, and thereby the quality of our lives. Proverbs 18:14 says, "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear?" In Isaiah 17:10-11, "Because thou hast forgotten the God of thy salvation, and hast not been mindful of the rock of thy strength, therefore shalt thou plant pleasant plants, and shalt set it with strange slips. In the day shalt thou make thy plant to grow, and in the morning shalt thou make thy seed to flourish. But the harvest shall be a heap in the day of grief and desperate sorrow." Bad seeds. living wrong, not living for God, is dying. Okay, I want to talk for a minute about the correlation of Scripture with things that could be wrong in your body. Let's talk about heart trouble. The first mention of heart troubles is in Genesis 6:5 that I could find. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And then Genesis 42:28 says, "And he said unto his brethren, My money is restored, and lo, it is even in my sack." This was the brothers of Joseph. "And their heart failed them, and they were afraid, saying one to another, What is this that God hath done to us?" This heart trouble was caused by fear. The first heart trouble described was caused by evil imaginations. I asked God one time about blood pressure because I was studying the same subject, and I said, "Well, Lord, I don't see blood pressure mentioned in the Bible anywhere. What causes high blood pressure?" And he said, "High blood pressure is always caused by fear." Proverbs 13:12, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life." Proverbs 14:30, "A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of bones." So envy will make you not have a sound heart, apparently. And I love this one, Proverbs 15:13, "A merry heart make it a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken." A merry heart's a good thing, y'all. Not always easy to keep a merry heart. In Proverbs 15:15, "All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast." A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. That's Proverbs 17:22. Did y'all know there is actually a disease called dry bone disease? There's actually a disease called dry bone disease. I'm not kidding. "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." I really believe that if you explored the dry bone disease, that you would find the broken spirit in a sorrowful state of that person. Let's talk about tumors. Deuteronomy 28:27. This is for not hearkening to the voice of the Lord and obeying his commands. "The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the emerods, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou cannot be healed." This is the only place in the Bible where the word itch occurs. There is itching in another verse, but this is the only place where itch occurs. And the English Standard Version of Isaiah 1:1-31, "The vision of Isaiah the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. Children have I reared and brought up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib. But Israel does not know. My people do not understand. A sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, children who deal corruptly. They have forsaken the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They are utterly estranged. Why will you still be struck down? Why will you continue to rebel? The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint." Okay, do you see this? Rebellion. Refusal to obey. Rebellion. Why will you continue to rebel? The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. Rebellion has to do with the head being sick and the heart being faint, y'all. Okay, the cure for tumors is Matthew 17:20. He said to them, "Because of your little faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." That's the English Standard Version. Let me explain. The Lord spoke to me. I was asking him, it was a year or maybe a year and a half ago, when I was in horrible pain on one of my shoulders, and I wrote about this in the Healing Companion. When it comes out, you'll see it. And I said, "Lord, this is terrible." It could have some scar tissue in there because I was reading about something that caused scar tissue, and I thought maybe it had that. And I said, "You know," and he said, "Well, that's a mountain." And I said, "What's a mountain?" And he said, "A mountain is anything that is in your way." He said, "Rebuke it." So I rebuked it. So the answer to tumors, because they are mountains, is to rebuke them and command them to be removed. And you can literally do that. Okay? Now, let's talk about Mark 5, the woman with the issue of bleeding. Okay? A woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. After hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak, for she thought, if I just can touch his garment, I will get well. Immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Immediately Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? And his disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing in on you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see the woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, because when you had a discharge of blood, you were considered unclean, and you were supposed to shout out that you were unclean to not touch anybody and definitely not be seen in public. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. My question is this. That kind of bleeding comes from the uterus generally, okay? And anything that is wrong in the uterus generally has to do with a romantic relationship. And from what I've seen, unforgiveness. The multiple cases that I personally have studied and that have happened to me had to do with unforgiveness. I really, truly believe there was unforgiveness towards a husband or ex-husband in every one of our cases where that happened. Where was this woman's husband? She was she was bleeding and bleeding and bleeding and trying to get healed. Where was her husband? Where was her husband? Had he left her? Had he thrown her away because her medical stuff cost so much? Where was her husband? I just have to ask that question. And if you go to Ezekiel 16:6, and when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. This is talking about a baby being thrown away out into the field right after it's born when it has blood on it. And if you read Ezekiel 16, it's talking about harlots. And then it says in verse 38, I will give you blood in fury and jealousy. And verse 45 is about wives who despise their husbands and children and being like their mother. Don't we learn to despise marriage from our mothers? Those who hate men or hate the state of marriage, that's an attitude they often get from their mothers. Not always, but very often. So I believe that bleeding problems like that come from harlotry and or despising the state of marriage, husbands, and children. And I believe that if we look back in those cases, we will find that. And having had a problem like that in the past, I can say that it was true for me. I can tell you that it was true for me. And you do spend a lot of money on doctors when you're going through that. Finally, you just give up and let them cut on you. But, okay, so but he's, Ezekiel 16, he's talking about harlotry, and then in verse 38, he says, I will give you blood in fury and jealousy. So is he saying, I'll make you bleed because I'm furious at you and I'm jealous because you're going and whoring about the land is what it's talking about. Think about that. I truly believe that any serious illness or disease, if you go to the Word of God, you will find something in there that will give you a clue to why it has a spiritual root. In the Garden of Eden, y'all, there was no sickness. There was no disease when there was no sin. There was no death and there was no disease before sin entered, okay? So, and Jesus took stripes to get our healing, okay? Those stripes were for doing wrong. He never did any wrong. But the stripes were for sin, okay? They were for doing wrong. And it is by his stripes that we are healed. How many times did Jesus heal somebody in the Bible and he said, go and sin no more? Okay? We just need to think about this. Sometimes disease or sickness comes on us because of a generational thing that has come down from our forefathers that no one's broken the curse of. But very often it is our own sin. It's our own bad attitudes and whatever. Okay. Prostate problems. There's been a huge rise in prostate cancer rates over recent years. Obviously, I'm not a doctor and I'm no expert on prostate cancer, but years ago, you never heard about it. And now you hear about it all the time and it's very common. And I can't help believing that the current prostate cancer statistics may be linked to the rise in sexual immorality and especially in the rise in pornography addiction. Think about this. Men are responsible for being the spiritual heads of our households, okay? And whether they believe it or not, the spiritual laws and responsibilities are the same. God's word remains unchanged whether the men are believers or unbelievers. I want to read you something to help you understand. This was sent to me by a friend to send to Jerry, and I sent it to Jerry, and I also kept a copy of it in my own Bible because I thought it was so incredible. This man was seeking wisdom on something else, but he got this. Adam and Eve. At first glance, it appears that Adam gets off pretty easily with most of the punishment going to Eve. But consider this. God did not allow Adam to blame Eve. Adam was held accountable for his actions. Myriad people point to Adam being made head over Eve because she sinned. But on closer inspection, part of Adam's punishment was being made the head over Eve. In the New Testament, it clearly explains that a husband should love his wife as his own body, and that by way of example, a husband should love his wife as Christ loves his church. Adam not only disobeyed, but stood by and made no effort to stop Eve. Adam also made no attempt to consult God before acting. Then he tried to blame Eve for all of it. So because of this, God made Adam accountable for both himself and his wife. In essence, God rebuked Adam's actions because they were, quote, friends, before Eve was even born. Adam should have known better, but he stood by watching, and when Eve didn't drop dead, he ate also. If a man loves his wife as Christ loves his church, a husband will not only do whatever is necessary to get into God's kingdom himself, but also provide his wife everything she needs to fulfill her role in the kingdom, just as King Jesus grants to his followers. Yes, a wife will pay for her own sins. However, when a husband stands before God, part of the accounting will include how he acted as head. And my thanks to our friend for sending that, because I really, really like that. So what I'm trying to say is two things. One, the state of your spirit really, really affects the state of your body, and it definitely affects the condition of your life. If your spirit is polluted and you're out there just living for the devil and living for yourself and doing whatever you want, your body's going to be in bad shape because you're going to be doing bad things like drugs and whatever, sexual immorality, whatever. And your mind's going to be in bad shape because you're not being renewed with God's word and you're going down all the wrong paths. And the other thing I'm saying is, if you have a sickness or disease, search God's word. You may find the key to it. And if you can find the spiritual root, you can cure the disease. Okay? Now, as I said, uterine problems, look for harlotry, look for unforgiveness towards a spouse or former spouse, that sort of thing, a romantic relationship. In breast problems in women, every time I've seen breast cancer, I've seen unforgiveness towards the mother. Every time. Bone problems seem to be linked to having a sorrowful heart. Prostate, as I said, look for sexual immorality, perversion, or pornography. Barrenness. This is a curse that has to be broken. It's a curse in Deuteronomy. Anything wrong with the kidney, the liver, or the lungs, look for failure to cleanse the life of sin, because those are all organs that do cleansing. The state of our spirit determines the condition of our hearts and thereby the quality of our lives. If you look at the cause of a lot of diseases, the physical causes that the doctors say are the causes, a lot of them equate with a sinful life or bad living. Okay? Our bodies are temples. We're supposed to take care of them. Prior to me having the stroke, I was overworking myself bad. My normal work day was 7 or 8 a.m. until 2 or 3 a.m. in the morning. And I was also dealing with family support issues that caused emotional stress on top of the physical stress. And I was just a wreck anyway. And when the stroke happened, I wondered if I had sinned and I was being punished. But when I asked God and he answered me, it was simply I had gotten out of his will. If you get off the path you're supposed to be on, you open the door to enemy attack. I had gotten distracted and began working on projects other than the one God wanted me to press in on, which was the Healing Companion. And he had warned me when I started pressing in and getting victory, he warned me that the enemy would strike me and try to kill me if I stopped. And he showed me a vision. But in my work distractions and in the joy of getting married to Jerry 3 weeks before that, the happiest day of my life, I had forgotten. The stroke didn't happen because of what you would call direct sin. It happened more for a sin of omission. I just got off the exact path God wanted me on. I was still living for God 100%, but I had gotten off of what he told me to be working on, and it was that serious. The Lord told me that the Healing Companion, which I'm working on now, by the way, was going to help thousands upon thousands of people get healed in a time when medical care would be scarce and very hard to come by. And it's hard for us to imagine that right now, but that's what he said. So whatever's coming in the future, obviously not a good thing. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus went about preaching the good news and healing every disease. Jesus is still healing every disease, y'all. There is no disease that is too hard for him. Can I just tell you that? If we go to him and ask him to cleanse us of any sin and to help us and to give us the key to our illness, I believe that he will lead us to what the key is. During the times when I have cared for this temple properly, there some summers I will eat fruit all summer and work out, walk a lot, ride bicycles, whatever. And I feel such a positive reward, and every day becomes such a positive experience when I do that. Those benefits are well worth whatever we have to give up. Not having to wake up in an ambulance or an ER, not having to do physical therapy, use a walker or wheelchair, not having to feel gross because I've been eating the wrong foods and making my body feel horrible. Spiritually, it's the same. When you're obedient and faithful and positive, you get the positive reward. When I feed my spirit each day with the bread of life, when I pray and spend time in God's presence, I feel that positive reward. And every day becomes a positive experience. And it can for you too. There's a lady listening to me right now, and you have not felt God's presence in a very long time, and you feel that God has abandoned you. You're a middle-aged lady. Ma'am, he's saying that he has not abandoned you, that he is actually right there with you, and you will feel his presence right now in the name of Jesus. He's saying that he loves you, and he's been reaching out to you, but that there is a spirit that is causing a wall to be up in your heart where you cannot feel his presence. He said, rebuke the spirit in his name, and you'll feel him. It's worth the sacrifice to spend time and do the right things, to walk in obedience, to be fully faithful to all that God has called you to do. And if you don't know your calling, do everything you know you're supposed to do. Do everything right, and he'll make it clear. Support other ministries. Love and encourage those around you. Minister in whatever capacity you feel qualified. Even just tell people what Jesus has done for you until he gives you more responsibility. Because the state of our spirit determines the condition of our heart and the quality of our lives. I'd like to close with a prayer. Lord Jesus, we call on you, our high priest. We worship you tonight. We call out to you for healing, for spiritual healing, for physical healing. Your word says in 2 John 2, Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health. And for sure, if we are not in health, it's difficult for us to prosper or enjoy any of the other incredible blessings and gifts you have given us, Lord. We ask you to heal all who are listening right now, who are ill with disease and sickness, all those who suffer severe pain, all those who are demon-possessed, having seizures, and those who are paralyzed. We call out to you to cure the incurable. We believe in your healing. We believe in your mercy. We believe in your love, and we believe in you. In Jesus' name, amen. We would like to thank you for listening to the Wings Radio program. May God richly bless you as you walk nearer and nearer the King of Kings each and every day. If this program has blessed you, we'd love to hear from you, and our contact information is at the end of the show. Tune in again next week, same time, same station. God bless you.
Thank you so much for tuning in to hear Glenda Linkous on Wings Radio tonight. We hope that you have been encouraged and inspired in your daily walk with Christ. You can find more of Glenda's talks on her YouTube channel, Texas Author and the Number One. You can contact Glenda by email at wingsofprophecy@gmail.com. Or by mail at Glenda Linkous, P.O. Box 127, Princeton, Texas, 75407. Wings Radio is a non-denominational program and is not affiliated with any church or nonprofit organization.